Well, hello everybody. It's good to be back. Excited to be here with all of you. So like Dave said, we'll be doing a story similar to the last time I was here with just a couple changes in the mix. So I won't be asking for a volunteer to tell the story all by themselves. So if that part scares you, it scares the teenagers too, but we make them do it. But we won't be doing that tonight. I want to give a little bit of background to our story before we actually dive into it. And there's a couple of either characters or phrases or things that come up in the story you might want to be aware about. One of the people we're going to talk about tonight is a lawyer, and it's not the same lawyers that we have today that would, I guess, show up to court for you and represent you or on different things. But rather, the lawyers during the time of Jesus studied the Old Testament law, and they were well versed in those things and understood them very well. And it's somebody that shows up in our story. Another person, and this might give it away, we're going to be talking about a Samaritan. And the Samaritans didn't seem to be liked by anyone. They were half Jew and half of a little bit of other stuff. And the Jews didn't like them because they weren't Jewish enough. And nobody else liked them because they were too Jewish. So as you can see, you probably had a lot of hard times getting invited to birthday parties as a young Samaritan kid. But we'll have them come up in our story. And I highly doubt you'll be able to see it from here, but I have this little thing of coins from the Bible. And in our story, we talk about denarii or however you pronounce it. And I have a little sample of what that might look like. So if you're curious, you can grab this afterwards and see what all the coins of the Bible look like. And then some other things that happened just before our story takes place. Jesus had just sent out 72 of his disciples to go out and minister to places that he was going to be going to. And as they returned from their ministry, they're rejoicing. They said, "Lord, we've cast demons out of people." And Jesus has actually kind of tells them something along the lines of, "Don't rejoice in these things, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And those things are what you should be looking forward to." And Jesus also rejoices in this idea that the understanding of God is now starting to come to people, and it's not coming through those who are seen as the wise or the understanding or the church leaders at the time, but rather Jesus says this understanding came to little children, and by that he's referring back to his disciples. So with those things in mind, our story picks up right after that, and this is where our story begins. It says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus asked him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' The lawyer said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' Jesus said, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you shall live.' But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' So Jesus said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and along the way he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that same road. And when the priest saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he saw the man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, when he came to that place and saw the man, he had compassion. The Samaritan went to the man, bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. And the Samaritan took the man and put him up on his own animal and took him to an inn to take care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." And that is the story that we're going to talk about for tonight. So, did you all like that story?
That's cool.
Okay, great. It was one of my favorites when I was first coming to church. So, what I'm hoping we could do right now is just take the time to try and tell the story together so we can have some more time discussing it, get it better in here before we go into the rest of the message for tonight. So, I forgot to pray. Oh, my goodness. My wife is sending me signals. Why don't we pray before we go any further? How about that? All right, Lord, we just thank you for tonight that we get to be here and be in your word and learn more about who you are and who your son Jesus Christ is. And Lord, I just pray that this time would be a time of growing for all of us and that we can just be encouraged through this time. And we pray this all in your name. Amen. Thanks. So, going back to telling the story together now. So if you were with me, we'll work together on it as a team for this next part. So again, our story says, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, and he said, "Teacher, what shall I?" Do you guys remember the question that he asked him?
The man.
Yeah. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer, he said, "You shall love," who is it that we're supposed to love? Yeah, the Lord your God, you should love him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. And there was somebody else that you should, yes, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, "No, that's not going to cut it. We're going to have to do a little better than that." Oh, he did not say that. What did Jesus say? Yeah, he said, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you shall live." And then our story goes on to say, but the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus said, "A man was traveling from," where did he start out at? Jerusalem. "From Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among robbers who they stripped him and beat him, and they departed, leaving him half dead." Then our story goes on and says, "Now by chance, somebody." Was going down that same road. You guys remember who it was that came along? A priest. A priest was going down that same road, and when the priest saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to that place, when he saw him, passed by on the other side. Oh, sorry, Richard, am I moving too much for you? Okay, we're good. All right. Then our story goes on to say, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to that place. And when the Samaritan saw the man, he had compassion. The Samaritan went to the man, bound up his wounds, and poured oil and wine. And the Samaritan took the man, and he put him up on his own animal, and then he took him somewhere, didn't he? Yes, he took him to the inn to take care of him. And then it says, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I return, when I come back." And then Jesus goes on and he says, "Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" You all remember what the lawyer said then? Yes, the one who showed him mercy. So that's the story that we're going to look at tonight. And let me ask you guys just one question for tonight before we go any farther. I wonder, what do you all think it might have been like for Jesus to be questioned by this lawyer about the Jewish law? What might that have been like for Jesus?
okay. talking about eternal life and, you know, and God. So he's used to answering questions, I guess, by people that may or may not have 100% belief or, you know, no belief, to where he's trying to help them with their faith, with a story or a parable, usually.
Okay. So he's probably have a mindset where he's... Okay, so it's not coming to him by any surprise. Okay. Yes.
The Lord answers questions throughout the Bible for all of humanity. When he came, he answered questions consistently during his entire ministry. And that's because the Lord condescends to do that for us. Even though he's the author of the law and the interpreter of it, he's willing to do that. Also, in their society, that was the way to converse. Even when he was a young man, when he was 12, he sat and asked questions and talked with the priests and so on. So he would have been used to this type of discipline.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, definitely would have been used to it. And as you were saying, being the author, interpreter, and what was the last characteristic you said? I liked it.
I know.
Well, last one would be enforcer.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there you go. But yeah, so him being definitely familiar with these things, he was asked about these things. I thought this was interesting, and I think it'll help bring us now more into our story. I remember as a young man, I had a sort of a lighthearted test myself that was given to me, not so much on the law, but rather I was in junior high at the time. My brother and I had gone up to Arizona. We were going to visit my father and my grandparents. And during that, the week we were out there, we were staying in my dad, my brother Dylan, and I were staying in their RV. They put it at some RV park for us. And we had decided we were going to go fishing with my grandfather, so that day we went out fishing. Nobody but myself caught a fish, and I caught it while I was asleep, so that was quite the... Everybody was yelling at me to wake up once I had hooked it, and then I reeled it in. And a little trout about this big we shared between three people, being myself and my brother and my dad. So we were still hungry that night. But we... After we had finished dinner, my dad wanted to give this test to us. It was a simple test. It was a foot race. So my dad wanted to see, could he still beat his two young boys, or were his young men now finally growing up enough to where they could beat him in a foot race? We set our parameters for what the race was going to be, and after a quick countdown, we took off. My older brother took a pretty quick lead. I never anticipated to beat him. I was hoping to at least beat my dad. And in the peripheral of my vision, because I could see that my brother was breaking away, he was far off from where we were at this point. But my dad, from the side of my vision, I could see him, instead of moving forward, he was moving down. And lo and behold, my dad totally tripped and ate it in this race. So I ended up stopping to see if he was okay, because I was like, I think he's getting old now. And then my brother had no idea, so he just kept going on, went to the finish line, won. And then I guess we had a disqualification for the two of us because I never finished, and I made sure he was okay, which he was fine. But as we're going to see in relation to how my dad's experience was for testing his two boys, this lawyer is going to be trying to put Jesus to the test, but we're going to see rather instead of him testing Jesus that he himself is going to be the one who's tested. And as we go back to the beginning of our story, let me do this, because this is totally out of I guess the normal means for where we do stuff. We'll put the verses up here, but if you want to flip open to it with me, we're in Luke chapter 10 tonight, and we're starting at verse 25. So with those things, let me just retell just the first portion of the story as you're flipping over there, and it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And the lawyer said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' Jesus said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But the lawyer, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And we'll stop there. And the first thing we can definitely learn from this lawyer is that either pride or putting people to the test is going to put us in the wrong places. Now, this lawyer wanted to try and showcase his wisdom or perhaps maybe his understanding by putting Jesus to the test. But what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is this is actually something we shouldn't have done. It says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him in Massa." But in this idea of not testing the Lord, right, as God, as Jesus also being God over us, that is not somebody that we should go about testing. So this guy is already putting himself in a tough spot. But as we also look at this interaction between the two, we can also start to see the intent of this man's heart is not genuinely asking this question to Jesus. We have a couple of clues for that. One, the story clearly tells us this is a test for Jesus. But even as we read in verse 25, he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Even this, as he calls him teacher, it almost, to me, it sounded, it kind of came across sarcastic. But Jesus, in his perfect patience with this lawyer, just asks another question. This man wants to present the law to Jesus, so Jesus keeps it in the law for him. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Now, the lawyer gives what seems to be a good response. He brings back up the scriptures. He quotes Deuteronomy 6:5, and that says exactly as it sounds like, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might." And he also quotes from Leviticus 19, and that simply says, it's kind of that last part there. It says, "But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So at least this lawyer has a good understanding of what he's been practicing and learning if he's going to be reciting these things to Jesus with these questions. In fact, as we look in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus gives this answer himself in a later part of his ministry that's recorded in Matthew 22, Jesus is asked the question, "What is the greatest commandment?" And this is the answer he gives from chapter Matthew 22. It says this, he says, "And he said to them, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind.'" So far I went on the same track. "This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And on these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets." So then the question might be asked, I'm running ahead of myself. So Jesus responds, if this response was good enough for Jesus, in his ministry, is this a good answer from our lawyer? Jesus, in our story, he tells him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you shall live." Now, I don't know about you all, but I've had from what I've understood, nobody's been able to pull this off except for Jesus, right? Anyone been in a perfect accordance to the law? I haven't pulled it off. That's why I need a Lord and Savior in Jesus. As we go through onto our next little thing here, in James, we read this in regards to trying to keep the law. It says, "For whoever keeps the whole law, but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' But if you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." So as I was going over this, I thought to myself, I was like, there's other interactions where Jesus kind of gives this idea of, you know, give up this and follow me. Why doesn't Jesus seem to tell this man, follow me. He has an interaction with a rich young ruler where he tells this young ruler, follow me. In fact, if we go to look at that story really quickly, here's what that says. It says, and a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. So even as we see this interaction between the young ruler and Jesus, we see that this guy seems to go away unhappy with what he hears from Jesus. So, but if we were to compare these two things, this young ruler seems to not want to depart or leave from his riches. And as we look at this lawyer, it seems that he wants to be justified by the law. He does not want to be saved by grace. So Jesus, as we see throughout the rest of this interaction, we really see he's working on softening the heart of this young ruler. And as we go more through the story the story that Jesus shares, we're going to see that this would have been a hard story for the lawyer to receive. But in verse 29, we almost see what comes across as this like self-inflicting wound, almost a shot to the foot by just the words that this lawyer says. And it says, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So there's a couple of things that seem kind of off about this. If he's asking this question, he almost unintentionally admits that he, one, does not understand the law, and therefore can't be following all of it, or that he does not understand the law, or he's really trying to go deep and dig himself deeper into this test that he's now administering. And similar to like my dad, he's soon going to be tripping and falling. Jesus sets for us a perfect example in these following verses. And so let's look at these verses again. So verse 30 goes on. It says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion. He went down to him, bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he set him up on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Oh, and we'll stop there. Thank you, Richard. What an awesome answer. And I love this because it's not that simply Jesus sets out, say, what a radius should be for a neighborhood. Like, this is your neighbor. If your person lives about this many, you know, miles, kilometers, or I was telling Brian earlier, as a math teacher, to make things more fun, he should use weird units of measurement, because I guess the internet makes fun of us Americans for doing that, because we'll measure things in the length of school buses. So it's not like Jesus said, a neighborhood for you is about 10 bus lengths long. That's who your neighbors are, right? He doesn't say that. Nor does he say that only your fellow Jew is a neighbor to you. This would have been a view that the Jews had at the time, so there's people who were promoting that idea. So, hey, only treat your fellow Jew as your neighbor. That's who your neighbor should be. What Jesus does instead is he shows us the character of how to live as a good neighbor. So Jesus sets the example for us, not the limitation. In fact, he really opens it up for who our neighbor could be. It's not determined by the person who's next door to you or what have you be, or perhaps a zip code. Rather, your neighbors, whoever you're going to have, whoever you may come across or encounter, and we are to love them just as Christ loved you. In fact, Jesus even told his disciples that's how we would be set apart from everybody else. In John 13, we read this about from Jesus. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Right? So if our interactions with people are, I'll say, limited on love, we're not representing the Lord the way that we should be. So we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that love should pour out just as onto other people, just as it pours on to our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you were here this morning, Dave literally poured out grace and blessings from these cups, and the stage got wet, and it was awesome. But so we are to pour out that kind of love towards others. Jesus, in this story, is also challenging the church leaders at the time. And we have to keep in mind who Jesus's audience is. If he's talking to a lawyer who would have been in close contact with all these church leaders, whether it be the priests or the Levites, he's challenging these groups as well. Because now we see in our story that the priest and the Levite, they don't sound like the good guys or the heroes in our story. Rather, that they're almost the people we would rather not be from this story. And some have come up with some possible reasons or maybe some excuses as to why in this, if this were an actual occurrence, why the priest and the Levite might have not gone to lend a helping hand to the man who fell among the robbers. The first one being is that they would not want to defile themselves. So the Jews were pretty strict with themselves on keeping themselves clean, and they weren't supposed to be around people, and whether they were dead or in a bloodied state, you did not want to be around people as they were in that condition, so they would have avoided him because of that. The other possible reason is that the road that Jesus is discussing was a well-known road, and it was notorious for having robbers and thieves that would come along the road, and it was a long stretch from Jerusalem to Jericho. Was about 17 miles, but you had quite the elevation change. You would go about 3,300 feet down. But here's an off-topic fun fact for you. If in the Bible you're ever traveling from Jerusalem, no matter what direction you're traveling, it's always down. Jerusalem was up on a hill, so they would always have the idea that you were going down from, even if you're traveling north, you were going down from Jerusalem. And I always thought that was kind of funny. The other thing was, they could have thought maybe this was a trap. If there was robbers regularly around this road, this guy could have been some kind of decoy. People would then try to help him, and then boom, now they are the next victim. So people believe maybe that's why if this was a real story, why they would not have stopped. Jesus, however, gives this Samaritan that we see in the story three great qualities. In verse 33, it tells us that he had compassion, right? As soon as he saw the man, it says that he had compassion. In the following verse, we see that he meets the needs of the man. It says that he bounds up his wounds and pouring oil and wine on them. Now, these would have been used as regular antiseptic or to help soothe the wounds. He wasn't trying to give the man some like extra wine just to kind of, had to have him drink to, say, calm the nerves or whatever. It was rather trying to actually care for the wounds that this man would have sustained from the robbers. And third and finally, we see that this Samaritan was willing to humble himself and make the personal sacrifice to see that this man was not left in the same condition that he was found in. And hopefully the interactions that we would have with people as well would we would hopefully meet people and leave them in a better state than what we found them in, right? If we have somebody in our life that maybe doesn't know the Lord, share with them those things about the Lord and leave them at least with something to think about or mull over. You're right, you've planted that seed, and hopefully the Lord will use it that he may be glorified through it. As we continue in this story, we see that Jesus then asks this lawyer one last question, right? Which of these three proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? And we see more of this man's heart just by the answer that he gives. He says in the following verse, he says, "The one who showed him mercy." Our lawyer is not willing to admit that there was the Samaritan, right? We have the very unlikely hero of the Samaritan. But he says, rather, instead of acknowledging who this man is in the story, he just simply says, "The one who showed mercy." So what I would like to do, and hopefully challenge you all with, and hopefully encourage you with the idea of all these things, is that we can share in the same way, really share the love that this Samaritan showed to the people around us. And if you want to even take it a step further, the amount of patience and love that I feel Jesus had just to deal with this lawyer, I think, is also a great example for us. We might have people that we come across in our lives that might want to challenge your faith or push you on your faith. And all we can do, the example that we're given here, is to be patient and ask questions. Well, what do you mean by that? I don't know. And see where they're maybe coming from, and have a better understanding of how you can then minister to them. But let me also encourage you with this idea. If we're going to be that good neighbor to all those around us, our neighbor is, again, just as we see in the story, it's anyone that we're going to come across. We don't want to put a limitation on how God can use us to minister to those around us. We should be open to how he would want to use us, because we can then bring him glory, and we can be encouraged by seeing God use us in many things. I never thought I would, as a young man, I never thought I would be doing ministry. I never thought I would be teaching kids about Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through him. I wanted to be a park ranger and be away from everybody and just enjoy the woods. But he definitely had different plans for me. And I've been blessed every day by having the opportunity to do these things and grow and be a part of the church. But let me end in one final idea, and I'll put it back into the words of Jesus. If we're to be a good neighbor, we should do this. You go and do likewise. So let me pray for all of you. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to just come and share from your word. Lord, I pray tonight was that we all just took something new away from this story, Lord, or we were encouraged. I pray, Lord, that you just bless this upcoming week, Lord. We're just so thankful for the opportunities that we have to be, Lord, here on the earth and just bringing you glory and praises and understanding more of who you are day by day. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Garrett. You know, I appreciate your teaching, because it got me to think more about that passage and differently. And it's amazing how when the lawyer questioned Jesus, he answered from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself." And he understood this. But rather than saying, "But I can't do it, Lord, I need you. I need help in doing it," the lawyer tried to justify himself. And Jesus didn't even measure him up to God's standard. He measured him to just loving his neighbor, and he was failing. And how different it would have been for that man if he would have just said, "Teach me, Lord." So may you love the Lord your God with all of your being And may you go and love your neighbor. God bless you. Amen.